So, welcome. Hey, Lowell has the Walk in the Spirit talk today, and so this is, in my opinion, I chose this, and in knowing that this is probably one of the most controversial sections of Galatians in the entire letter. I mean, it really is. And it really shows what I would consider the battle that goes on within each and every one of us. And I know, and you know, you guys, you're just like me. You already know most of this stuff. You know, you've been the walk. You've been around the block a few times, and you know what is really bothering you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to start to talk on it. Okay, he says, first of all, I'm supposed to start with verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Okay, but I say, and this is the whole theme to the entire talk, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I'm speaking from the English Standard Version, by the way. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, and to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And then he, watch this, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, it's kind of self-explanatory. A person could actually say, gee, you know, after everything that's said here, what do you not get? So, the battle. So, the battle is the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. That's pretty well what the theme of this is. Now, let me define a few things for you here. The Spirit of man is in communion with the Lord called the conscience. And your conscience, being part of the Spirit, works hand in hand to keep you from doing the sinful things that you ought to. Because each and every one, here's the difference. Each and every one of us that have found Christ, that we call him Lord in our lives, victory's already there. It's there because we have the big, powerful name of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is God who works together with the conscience, which is the spirit of man. Being led by the Holy Spirit is essentially, that's the secret of life. I call it that because it is in itself the victory that the Christian has. Now that's exciting. That's really the good news because the victory is in the secret of life being in what has been done, thank you, Jesus, to us when the Word comes in to set us free. There's your victory right there. The Word has done it, and God does this, and the key word is transformation. Okay? The transformation, Romans 12, 2. Transformation of the inner man. That is, there's a whole book about that, thick on that. And I was reading it while I was at Spirit Life Church in 94 to 96, and oh my goodness, Dad, I learned a lot about the heart and how deceptive the heart is. And desperately wicked, who could know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. So, but yet, out of it flow the issues of life. Which is, if you want to know where that verse is, it's Proverbs 4:23. So, the victory is always in the spirit of man, because the Word, then the Word becomes part of you, and you are in Jesus and trusting, relying entirely on yourself, hearing what He is telling you at any given moment. Now think about that. Now when I talk to people about these two powerful words that changed my life, the two powerful words that changed my life as a Catholic back in 1973, was these two words, a personal relationship. I found out that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Oh my goodness, I said, whoa, what's that? And I had already given you my testimony, but I was kneeling at the back of the Catholic Church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Lord drew me up, on a Sunday, by the way, He drew me up right underneath the crucifix, and He said, now let's deal with this together. And then He showed me what I could have, because there was so much more that I could have in my walk with Him that I didn't know was available. 23, I didn't know very much. Now I'm 68, and thank the Lord that He's taught me in these years. I'm humbled by that. So the important thing is that I share it. Well, it can't just stop here. I have to share it. In my daily walk, I have to share what God has for me. He wants me to not keep it all inside of me. If it is, it's like a volcano. It keeps on bubbling up over and over and over again because of Jesus is giving me, John 4, this is where this is, living water. Everybody say that after me. Living water. Well, where is that? It's inside of you. His living water is inside of you. Is that where your victory is? Of course. The living water, it bubbles out of you. And the more you get of the living water, the better it gets, because you are filled to the full of the glory of God in the power of His Word, being so, it becomes, key word here, adamant. See? And if you are walking in that, you don't have to worry about the battle of the flesh, because that beautiful thing called the walking in the Spirit is going to take. Okay. At any given moment, when you're in this the battle with the flesh, that you pray now is you use praise and a little trust in Him, and He will do the work. There's your key. He will do the work. But praise is powerful. Well, I learned this in 1974, and I just was wondering. I said, my goodness gracious, I didn't know that I could have this beautiful walk with you. And the Lord said, you want my attention? Just praise me. Now, there's a verse in the Bible. I don't know where it is. Yeah. But the verse, it says, He inhabits the praises of His people. Oh, isn't that beautiful? So when you even so much just say, praise the Lord, it only takes faith the size of a what? Mustard seed to turn God on. The beautiful thing about being a Christian is that the Holy Word of God, our Heavenly Father, is in agreement with His Word. So because He is in agreement with His Word, it shall not come back to Him void. Isaiah 55:11. It shall not come back to Him void, for it shall prosper in the thing for which it's sent. Okay. Well, if we live there, then we are living in the agreement that the Father has with His Word. Well, if the Father has an agreement with His Word, well, there's only one other component in you that it takes to make it work. Faith. If you have faith in His Word, that makes His Word go forth and work, because your faith is all He's looking for. And I would add to that, declare it. Declare it. Tell the person, this is what it is. This is what it says. This is what you can have when you enjoy His Word. And just know that He will work. He is there. He is in His Word. True Christian liberty is in self-control. It's kind of like, there's two words that I want to use here. And when I was reading this book here by Stott, Galatians, I really got excited because he defined the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, as you all know, I'm a musician. And in the world of music, we have this thing called triads. This is really cool. I read this from Stott, and I love the way he put it. He didn't know I was a musician, but when I read this, a triad is a three notes. When you play them all together, it creates what's called a chord. Well, a chord is a triad. It's three notes or more. But in this case, the triad means three, okay? So the way that this guy works it out, he starts out with the first triad of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, and peace. And these are called a triad of general Christian values. That's what he says here. Yet they seem primarily to concern our attitude towards God. So we got love, joy, and peace. That is supposed to be our attitude towards God. For a Christian's first love is his love for God. His chief joy is his joy in God, and his deepest peace is his peace with God. It's a place of victory. Then you have the second triad: patience, kindness, goodness. And they are what's called social virtues. I like the way he puts that. Social virtues. Manward rather than Godward in their direction. Patience is long-suffering towards those who aggravate or persecute, where kindness is a question of disposition. Now, disposition has two meanings. One, to dispose of, and two, what it is that you are leaning towards. Now, hang on here a minute, because I've got this written all out. Okay. Godward, long-suffering towards, okay, persecute. Kindness is a question of disposition. Prevailing tendency of one's spirit. The prevailing tendency of one's spirit. Goodness are words and desires. Words and deeds, too. So that covers that triad. Now we'll go to the third triad, which is faithfulness. Everybody say this after me. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, so those are the last three. Well, faithfulness appears to describe, and y'all need to listen to this, reliability of the Christian. See, although we fail sometimes in that, because sometimes we're not reliable. But that's something you all got to work on every day to be reliable for the Lord. The reliability of the Christian man. Gentleness is that humble meekness which Christ exhibited. So we just need to watch the example that Christ gives us, because he was always gentle, except when he dealt with the Pharisees. But for the most part, he was a very gentle man. We all know that. All you got to do is read the Gospels. You find out how gentle Jesus really was. Especially, I'm going to give you one of his moments of gentleness. And, boy, I see this so applicable today. And that was the lady who was caught in adultery. Okay? So she was caught in adultery. And they're all getting ready to stone him. Stone that girl, weren't they? They're all getting ready to stone that girl. And this next sentence from Jesus needs to be spoken loud and clear to this country, because I'm so tired of hearing on the television the word sexual assault. Aren't you? He who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, that's what Jesus said. And that would humble a lot of voices going on out there right now. But these, I don't want to hear it anymore. It just makes me sick to think about those acts that people have done that. But, oh, the TV says, well, I'll just blast it in front of your face. And they have an agenda for that. Enough about that. But the important thing is that we follow the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to get in some very, very, very good stuff that I learned here. And I said, wow, Holy Spirit, you really show me that gentleness is that humble meekness. Okay. And both, so now we get into the word self-control. I couldn't say this hard enough and strong enough when I learned this, what I'm about to tell you. Self-control works well with common sense. Think about that. Common sense. If you have self-control and you've got a situation that requires common sense, then one will work with the other to give you the other part of that equation, victory. So if you use self-control coupled with common sense, you're going to get the victory. Now, is that easy to remember? Yeah, it's a good thing, isn't it? I never saw that. The Holy Spirit showed me that. Wow, that just like came so clear to me. This is a nice equation, if you want to call that, A plus B equals C. So the point is that we can use this particular thing in the third triad. So let's put all that together in a nutshell for you. So we may say that the primary direction of love, joy, and peace is one, Godward. Of patience, kindness, and goodness is manward. And faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is pretty much selfward. And all these are the fruit of the Spirit. So if we are practicing these things, Paul says in his word here, Paul adds, against such there is no law. Because the law, and I'm going to give you guys something that you really can take home, because we've been talking about the law here a lot in the last several weeks. Well, what is the law there for? And this guy really makes it easy to understand. One, to curb. Two, to restrain. And three, to deter. No deterrent is needed here. Not when it comes to these fruits of the Spirit. But if you are under the law, then you haven't crucified the flesh. The most important thing that we can do in our lives, and I'm working on this just as well as you guys are, and that is the function of the law. Again, I just got through telling you this, so that you will not going to do what you cannot do. That's what it's there for, so that what you will to do, you cannot do. So we absolutely must crucify the flesh. Make it die. Send it to whose cross? The Jesus cross. The only one that works. Because my cross gets a little tattered and frayed from time to time for me throwing stuff up there all the time. I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else. But I can tell you this. I'm so grateful that what I have learned, because it's helping me in my daily walk with Jesus. Crucify the flesh. It is the victory that works. So that's pretty much there, what I've been trying to say. Now, the important thing is here that the crucifixion of the flesh and getting rid of, pretty well gets rid of all these sinful things that I just got through talking about here in this section of this Bible. But the important thing is to live by the Spirit. Now, if you were to couple that with a verse that says to pray unceasingly, 1 Thessalonians 5, like 14 or something, pray unceasingly, even if it's just so much as, oh, thank you, Jesus, something like that, or glorify your name, or whatever it is that you want to say, whatever situation you are in. Oh, you're sitting at a red light. The car is running. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even there. Wherever it is that you are at, you know, the whole thing is, oh, man, I've run out of steam. I just can't do it anymore. The Lord says, well, I'm going to give you the wherewithal to do what I need you to do. See? But the important thing is, I mean, I'm going to give you an example of this. Wanda and I were, my wife, we were on our wedding anniversary. And we're up in Door County and Sturgeon Bay. And I was, I drove over to Park so we could rest a little bit. And so this kid was driving along on his bicycle. And I looked at him and I just sang, Lord, he stopped right in front of me. I said, hi, what's your name? Jimmy. Oh, hi, Jimmy. How old are you? I'm 15. So we started talking back and forth. And all of a sudden he reveals to me what's going on in his life. Just praying, Lord, what are you showing me here? Anything. Just, Lord, get me in tune with what you're about to do here. All of a sudden, the kid opens up, and he says, they just sent my dad to prison for 10 years, and I'm just all brokenhearted about that. Wow. Dumped that right on my shoulders. So he's not going to see his daddy for the next 10 years. He got sent up for prison. I said, well, who are you living with? He said, well, I'm living with my aunt. I said, well, what about your mother? Enough to make me cry. She doesn't want me anymore. Painful just to listen to him. And I said, Lord, what do I do? What do I say? He gave me the great fourth commandment, love your father and your mother. For in that, at the end of that verse, it says, so that it may go well with you while on the earth. So I said, and the Lord just, within a split second, gave me the message to give to that kid. I said, Jimmy, let me ask you this. I want you to realize that God loves you very, very much, and he's really concerned about your life and how you're going to lead your life here while your father's in jail. I said, but you need to realize that God, when he blesses you, he'll bless you because you choose to honor your father instead of condemn him. If you will honor your father and speak well of him, God promises you long life. I thought the kid, he didn't know what to do with that. I said, where are you going to church? He said, well, I'm going to Catholic church with my aunt. And he said, we don't go very often. He said, but that's where we're supposed to go. And so we went back and forth, and I said, did you know you could have a personal relationship with this Jesus? Well, what's that mean? He didn't know what I was talking about. So I told him, I said, you can have this beautiful personal relationship. So I took his hand and I asked him to pray with me. He came right in the kingdom. He just asked Jesus to come into his heart right there. His whole composure changed right in front of me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Serious business. Serious business. So it didn't matter how tired I was. What did matter was that I was focused on walking in the Spirit, right? Which produced the fruit of what the Holy Spirit wanted to see happen. The Holy Spirit wanted this kid. And he placed me right at the exact moment in a park, standing there in a parking lot, talking to this kid. And he needed to know who this Jesus was because it was broken. Broken in his spirit. I don't know if any of you guys have had troubles with your fathers or been ashamed of them in one way, shape, form, or another. But I'll tell you something. That particular moment made my whole weekend. Because I realized how important it was that what comes out of this mouth had better be walking in the Spirit. Now, one or two things could have happened there. I could have said, boy, what a dirty wretch. Yeah, I feel for you, kid. And then walk away. That's one way. That's not walking in the Spirit, is it? But being sensitive to the movements of the Holy Spirit and having the verse, bingo, here comes the verse that hit me right in the head. I mean, split second, I had it. And God wants you to be a ready worker. He wants you to be ready to be able to give an answer for the calling that lies within you. He wants you to be ready to give the verse, the scripture, for the given moment. And when he does that, you will shine. Heaven will rejoice with glory that God's will is being done. But that's what I'm saying. That's walking in the Spirit. Okay? So the important thing is that we are all sensitive to the move of the Spirit. Okay, now I'm running out of time. So one, the big thing that I want to do, it's a big surprise, dude. It's a little unorthodox here. But I'm going to do this. The most powerful thing that we have is his name. So I just brought a little song that I want to play for you. And I want to play this, and I want you to listen to this song. In the name of the Lord. Lined the narrow street to see this man from Galilee. Just a carpenter, they say, leading fools astray. Yet many kneel to give him praise. And in his eyes they glimpse the power that sees the hearts of all men. And he knows the Father's mind. He speaks the Father's words. For he comes in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When my my plans have fallen through. And when my strength is nearly gone, when there's nothing left to do but just depend on you and the power of your name. And when we call upon your name, your strength through weakness to show, we can know the Father's plan, extend the Master's hand. When he comes in the name of the Lord, there is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord, and there is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. His name will worship forever. Creator, Redeemer, and King. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.